Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting a television show or season that we think you'll find interesting. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about number one Sentai Gozuzer. This is the 49th and final season of Super Sentai. And I don't think they should be ending Super Sentai, but they didn't ask me. They're doing it nonetheless. Whatever. I half think the reason they went with it being the 50th anniversary going by calendar years, which is perfectly legitimate, although they had been doing it by kind of seasons or teams, is just so they could end it after this year. But I could be wrong on that. The basic premise of the season is there are these Sentai rings, whoever collects them all gets a giant wish and goes from there. I had mixed feelings about this from the get-go in terms of where they actually went. Rings based on Super Sentai for an anniversary season seems to be a fairly standard thing these days. I feel they've gone back to the well too many times. Again, I really enjoyed it the first time they did it in season 35 of Gokaiger, but this is the third or fourth time it feels like we've gotten it with Avataro Dawn Brothers and then Zenkaiger before it. So, too many too recently. That having been said, the theming of the number one challenges and some of those things were new, different, inventive, and I liked it. So I don't want to give the impression I hated the season or anything like that. It's just there are some creative decisions they made that I wasn't crazy about. Overall, it was a fun season. There was an episode zero, which was like a 2 or 3 minute thing kind of setting up the premise. I feel they made some serious mistakes with that. First, it was all CG. There wasn't a live actor to be seen in it, not even a digital version of one. It was all about how there was this universe war against the Calamity. Tegasord, a giant Zord, comes in out of nowhere to save the day, winds up doing it, power scatters of Sentai rings, etc. And the whole thing comes down to they win by losing or something like that because the entire universe is destroyed and recreated. And if you're doing a swan song season for Super Sentai, don't start by killing the swan! So starting with the universe having been rebooted irked me quite a bit. There was an aspect where this is very similar to the Great Legend War that kicked off Gokaiger, and this was done at the Zord level versus the Ranger level, as if the Zords were all sentient and stuff, which wasn't really the case. And again, the fact there were no Rangers, it was all Zords and stuff, made it feel almost like a Transformers short than a Super Sentai one. And while the computer graphics were good, it gave it a video game aesthetic versus the live-action tokusatsu that Super Sentai is. So I thought that was a little weird and set the thing off on the wrong foot of we're starting new at the end versus culminating what had gone before. And again, I thought that was just a very questionable decision. Now, one of the things they did do, in my opinion, right, now granted it's a matter of taste, of course, for this season was the theme song. It's a high-energy one, and it's just a lot of fun. They have good opening credits to go with it. They do wind up changing those over the course of the season for a variety of reasons. One or two characters leave for a bit, so they get kind of edited out for a bit. Some stuff happens in the last quarter of the run that they had to work around. But again, it's a nice high energy and catchy theme song. And they use it also during the fight scenes and stuff like that. It may seem like a small thing, but it's like, what is the A-Team without the music playing when they're doing their stuff, or Doctor Who, or any of those kind of classic shows of that ilk? Now, the team of Rangers we've got Red, who is the, basically, I don't say born loser, it's not accurate. He fits the classic Power Ranger description of teenager with attitude. This guy can't keep a job, he is a loner, he is a rebel, he is a punk. He's a bit unlikable, but that's the point of the character. He's also pretty much unstoppable. The Blue Ranger is an idol. Modern-day young celebrity. He has had a checkered past, fell from grace. He's trying to regain being the number one idol. And he is the, I don't say the romantic of the group, but certainly some of his stuff goes around romance. Near the end of the season, they actually do some interesting stuff about kind of the responsibility an idol has to their fans and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Again, his wish of wanting to be the number one idol, I would argue maybe a little shallow, but it's better than the Red Ranger who has no wish. So there's that. The Yellow Ranger was really one of the more interesting ones, and he is the true believer. He is devoted to Tegasord, who he worships, and, I mean, literally worships. He is in, like, monk-like robes and such, like, his whole being centers around that. Now, his backstory is he's from a rich family. He's the heir to a local hospital. His father wanted him to kind of take over and run, so he's an actual doctor and such. But he has rejected all of that to find meaning in his life, which all again goes around Tegasord. Now, again, Tegasord is the Zord of the season. It's a sentient thing that has kind of godlike powers because he can grant these wishes when all the rings are collected. But why do the rings need to be collected? I don't know. Where his whole backstory of where he came from for this whole universe war with the Calamity for Tegasord never really explained, but whatever. The Green Ranger is also kind of interesting. His wish is to be the ultimate party person, and he comes across as a 17-year-old who just really wants to live life to the fullest. What we realize, though, is he's actually an 87-year-old who has gotten one of these contracts with Tegasord, has been rejuvenated to be one of the warriors. And there are times where if he doesn't eat enough eggs, because there's something about eggs that keep him young, he reverts to his old age until he can eat some and then rejuvenates down to 17 and stuff. There are times they get some really good use out of that. Other times it's just a background element at best. The Black Ranger, she is a high-end luxury private eye. We originally meet her. She's working for the then-current Prime Minister and has a ring but can't use it to morph until she really finds out what her wish is and then it works. There are times where her being a private eye comes into play. They actually made really good use of it when they needed to near the final quarter of the season when some stuff happened behind the scenes that the production company had to react to. But we've got a decent group here. The Red Rangers got a wolf motif. All of them have an additional kind of power, if you will. His has enhanced smell so he can smell the bad guys. Blue is got a lion motif. His power is hearing, so he can kind of hear when the bad guys are in action. Yellow has a Tyrannosaurus theme and just incredible strength. So there are times he's literally throwing cars around and such. Green is themed on an eagle, and again, his power is being 70 years younger, which is a little weird. Black has kind of a touch telepathy. It doesn't work on other ring bearers, but is used from time to time, although really, most of the time, it's kind of ignored. And we'll get to the Sixth Ranger in a little bit. But these are our cast. The premise of the series is that they are all fighting to see who can collect all the rings, so they should be at odds. But Blue had decided, and we find out this later in the backstory, that he should be working with Yellow. He was going to steal his ring, but Yellow's a true believer, and they're kind of compatible mindsets to a certain degree of trying to do the right thing for people, or help people out, which idol trying to make them happy, etc. So they team up. They wind up encountering Red and helping him. Green gets kind of pulled into it, and then they all encounter Black, who becomes kind of the final member of the team. Now, Red lives above the Half Century Cafe, of course, named for Half Century of Super Sentai. That cafe quickly gets bought out by the Yellow Ranger and becomes the Tegasord Village Cafe. Because again, it becomes a shrine to Tegasord. So all of that was kind of interesting. And major decent team dynamics. When we introduce the Sixth Ranger about a quarter of the way into the season, normally they come in as if they are the be-all, end-all ranger to be had and, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread or something. This time when it's introduced, the world has been remade again. So not only just in that two-minute preview video or whatever, but now again, something had happened, and the world gets temporarily remade, and the Sixth Ranger is, like, the hero now. Now, he's themed after a polar bear, so he's got ice kind of powers and such. He has also god-ish abilities. So there are times where he can do quite a bit, and there are other times where it's like he gets taken down pretty easily, too, depending on the story needs. But his ego is probably his other power, I would say. And he, in the previous go-round of the Universe War, which presumably is what we'd seen the tail end of in that two-minute video, he was the Wolf, the Red Ranger. So he's always referring to the Red Ranger as the second gen, because he's essentially his replacement. Which is kind of funny, given how the Sixth Ranger usually, I don't want to say supplants the Red Ranger, because they usually don't take over as the leader and stuff, although that happened with Tommy and Power Rangers. But when you've got kind of five Rangers, and there's a first among equals sort of situation with the Red, and then you've got a Sixth Ranger who seems to be on par or better than that lead Ranger, this just took it to a whole nother extreme. Kind of interesting, kind of fun, also a little annoying at times, too. The bad guys this time were kind of both different and also very not different in some respects. The foot soldiers, there's one group that are in basically black spandex with like a bell kind of helmet. Most of them are silver. Their kind of leaders of their groups are gold. And normally these are the nameless foot soldiers. Here, what I really loved is they have names. Some of them are drinking buddies of the generals and some of that kind of stuff. So they had fun with it. Now, the other segment of the foot soldiers are almost like the leftover ones from all of the other seasons. They don't focus on them, they don't really highlight them at all, but you'll be seeing a fight scene, and it's like, wait, that's one from this season or that season or what have you. So I thought that was kind of fun. There are a couple of kind of lieutenant general level types. There is Fire Candle, who at first just was a little annoying and over the top, but I really grew to enjoy that character over the season. He was kind of the true believer on their side of the Bredan, or whatever they were called. Fire powers. He had a fighting staff that would shrink down and become like a earring kind of thing. And tried to be a main rival of the Red Ranger, and kind of sort of was, but they were also kind of sort of friends. It was kind of weird, but worked. There's a Bouquet, first of Bouquet of Love, temporary Bouquet of Destruction. She is... I forget if she was the tactical leader there or something of that sort. Her role was never entirely clear. Sometimes she was leading some of the foot soldiers and stuff out there. Her main story was she fell for this idol. Didn't realize that idol was the Blue Ranger. So she really hated the Blue Ranger, but loved his idol persona. That comes to a head later on, has a really interesting kind of turning point near the end. A lot of fun. And they get some good use out of both the character and the actress did a terrific job. She's one that she's got a very ornate costume and stuff, but both her and Fire Candle are people in costumes. Then there were the two others that are suit characters. When I say suit characters, I don't know if I explained this in previous ones. There are some where they are just totally in a costume. Think a masked singer or like a sports mascot or something like that that's covered head to toe. You have no idea who's in it. They could switch it every scene and you'd be none the wiser. But Mr. Shining Knife and Miss Sweetcakes were one of those. He's got like a sword motif. She has arguably a cake motif, but really not used that much. What's interesting about these two is they were true lovers in the past, so much so that they fused into a single being. So it's almost not a Siamese twin kind of a thing, but like a marriaged version of it. It was really kind of weird. But they weren't used for comedic effect, but they weren't too serious either. So again, Fire Candle, those two, Bouquet, they were kind of the core of the Bredan villains. They had their queen that was kind of their equivalent of Tegasword, and she's got a connection to Tegasword that becomes a big plot point later on. But they also have their equivalent of a Sixth Ranger, if you will, which is, I'm going to call him Red X. Now, if you've ever watched Teen Titans Go!, there was a character there that was kind of an evil version of Robin, and at one point I think it was Robin claiming to be evil so he could infiltrate the Hive or something like that. I forget the details. But he went by Red X. Take that basic idea, turn it into a Power Ranger Super Sentai villain, and that's kind of what you got here. Now, part of that is, with the ring motif, the outfits for the Rangers have this big circle on their chest, and sometimes they can use it as a portal to pull a weapon from, or when they rescue somebody from the Monster of the Week, they kind of shoot through the portal back to where they were, whatever. But you've got the O's, you got to have an X for the opposing team, essentially is what it came down to. And this guy, Kuan, was that again, evil Sixth Ranger, worked with, but not always in tandem exactly, with the other members of the Berdan. And he is also the older brother of the Red Ranger. And they do some things with that over time. I could not watch that character, though, without literally thinking of Red X from the Teen Titans cartoon. And not a bad character, but complicated backstory. It took a little while for some of that to come out. And his redemption slash punishment at the end, because that happens in the last quarter of the season, flips him into a new role for a bit, which was kind of entertaining. Again, I don't want to give too much away in case some of you actually decide to watch this. The basic premise of the season, though, is there was the Universe War versus the Calamity. Fight's over. We now have this new status quo. The Berdan are AI creatures. They're fully sentient and stuff. Only at times is the AI aspect really kind of come into play. And we've got the monsters of the week. And each of them are trying to be number one at something. Number one at etiquette, in which case the battle is who knows the rules of etiquette more, in which case they're going up against the Yellow Ranger, who's got the highfalutin background and knows etiquette. Other times it's who can meddle the most, or something of that sort. So while there are the fight scenes, there are also the challenges, and sometimes it's very much the judge is very much stacked against the Rangers and stuff like that. Sometimes it's okay, it's going to be a baseball game, who wins this? And those scenes have very, very much a video game aspect to them. There's a big, elaborate starting of the fight kind of a thing with a fight, fight, fight kind of a chant. Rooting for both teams. The two sides come in literally in a boxing arena kind of a deal to, I don't want to say state their case, but you know what I mean. And then either they'll fight or they'll do the challenge, whatever it is. And then one side or the other will be declared a winner. You've got the splash screen like you would have at the end of a video game match or something. And it was kind of crazy, but it kind of worked. It was in keeping with, but also very different from past Sentais, so I appreciated that. And it played out through enough of the season that by the time we actually deal with them, there's still 6 or 7 episodes left. And I'm like, well, you know, I know that wasn't the end game because the whole thing was you got to collect the most rings. They've gotten most of them, but that's not all taken care of. So we get all that with the Berdan taken care of. We have a two-parter that has a past ranger. Now, this is interesting in so much as this show probably has the most different people morphing into rangers of any season that I am aware of. Let me rephrase that. The most different characters morphing into rangers. Because shows like Gokaiger, we had the same 6 people morphing into a whole bunch of different rangers over the time. We get some of that here too, but here they would come across somebody who had gotten a given ring and morphed into Battle Japan or, you know, the Red Ranger from whichever season. And not every season has somebody morph into them. Some of them are used as kind of fighting drones by Kuon, or they are a secondary morph that one of the Rangers does. So we'll see somebody who's got the Jetman ring. He'll be the villain for an episode or whatever. There are other times there'll be somebody who has a ring that's not so much a villain, but definitely an antagonist for it. And 1 or 2 times, one of them are just checking out the Rangers. It's like, yep, you guys deserve it. Here it is. So to actually have a two-parter at the end where a past actual actor reprises his role was really interesting. It was one of the ones from Kaku Ranger. I think it was the Red Ranger there. Yeah, it was. And they've done, I think, a 30 years later Kaku Ranger movie, and he references that. It's all taking place in another universe, which I had thought was the pre-destroyed version, but it's still going, so this whole season takes place in a different universe than most of the other Super Sentai, although there are some past Super Sentai that were in different universes than the main one for Super Sentai. But in the 30-year Kaku Ranger movie, he had given his powers to a new generation. So he's actually using the Kaku Ranger Sentai ring to have his Kaku Ranger powers again in this universe. So that was kind of interesting. It kind of closed the loop on, is this Red Ranger for this season really suitable as a Red Ranger or not? And he's like, yeah, you're an oddball, but your team rallies around you, you're unstoppable, your heart's in the right place, all of those kinds of things. You check the boxes in a non-standard way, but you do check the boxes. So I thought that was kind of fun. The other thing that was a ton of fun about those two episodes, and we never see this guy unmorphed, but we've got Origami Red. And this is a Red Ranger who's themed on origami, you know, the whole paper folding thing, and it's kind of even part of his mindset of, you know, you got to do things right, or, you know, the paper will get all mangled, or, you know, whatever. Great design for the character. Arguably, that could have been what the 50th season would have been, or, you know, team would have been, had we not gotten this season. It turns out they had done a contest for kids to go submit their design for a ranger. This was the winning one. So this was dreamed up by some 8-year-old or something, and they even at one point, I think, show the, or maybe I saw this on one of the wikis for the show. I saw it on the wiki. His hand-drawn version of it, and then you've got Plex, who's one of the design companies, designs all the Zords, the costumes, and stuff like that, or at least helps on that kind of stuff, do their version of that ranger. And I think the kid even got to watch the filming and stuff. So I thought it was a ton of fun. I really like that ranger. I can't say he is a true Super Sentai, although he claimed to be kind of the original Super Sentai, which he's not. That's Go Ranger. But I can't consider him a true Sentai hero in so much as we never see or even hear about his team. And for me, the thing that differentiates Super Sentai from Kamen Rider or almost any other tokusatsu, these aren't solo heroes. They are members of a team of similarly themed characters of similar design, costumes, etc. There's a identifiability about members of the same team, even if their colors are different, even if their animals or other theming aspects are a little different. They clearly all are part of a set, if you will. But having that character show up for the two-parter of, are you guys really a qualified Super Sentai team or not? Kind of fun. But then we almost get a rapid-fire Battle of the Calamity, because we've got the various generals of the Calamity. One is a plague, one is war, one is, I forget what the other one was. Essentially, think the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. They come, the Rangers are able to deal with them, some take a little more than others, but it all kind of works, and that leads up to the actual, okay, we're down to the final battle, we've got all the rings, it's just the six Rangers, how is this going to play out? And that takes a few episodes to resolve. It worked. There's a interesting kind of twist, the 11th hour there, of we find out what the Red Ranger wishes for. It's actually a fairly clever wish that puts things in a slightly different light. And at the end of it, we wind up spinning a year forward, as is not uncommon to do, with a, and here's how things went for the last year after the big climax happened. Now, it all wrapped up pretty well. There was a full circle moment because that scene there at the end, when the Red Ranger is telling the Sixth Ranger, here's what kind of happened while you were gone or whatever, or they're filling each other in on various parts. It takes place at a park that was a key scene in the first episode, when the Red Ranger first encounters the rings, meets another ring bearer, and that ring bearer had the King Oger ring. And it was funny, because I came out of the first episode thinking, man, I like that other guy better. Well, what I didn't really clue in on the fact, noticed from the wiki though, was that ranger? Yeah, sure, it was the King Oger ring from a season or two back. It actually was the Red Ranger of Boom Boonger that had ended the week prior of this one starting. Hairstyle was different, mannerisms were different, he was playing a different character, sold the different character, but to actually reuse that actor from being the lead one week to just kind of a guest spot the next was kind of wild. But again, it worked. I think, again, they did a lot of things right, I just didn't care for starting from the get-go with having flipped universes, effectively. Not effectively, literally. And instead of this being a swan song for Super Sentai, it was almost the start of something happening in a whole nother universe referencing the 50-year history from a different universe, which I didn't think was the right way to go. I think it should have been part and parcel of the season. I almost would have gone with, well, I would have gone with a musical thing of finding the power of the songs of the different seasons or whatever. I think another approach, though, that really would have worked for what they were trying to do here was almost a more archaeology-themed one, even if not literally archaeology, but where they go to some of the climatic battle scenes and places from past seasons. You know, go visit the places the different ranger teams hung out with or something like that. Maybe they realize they're doing it intentionally. Maybe it just happens and they're none the wiser or something. But that could have been fun if they'd gone to a pizza place and then at the end, we get a little kind of visual nod that, oh, wait, this was the pizza place from this season or that season or what have you. Actually, it was the pizza place. I'm thinking Jungle Fury, Geki Ranger, had a different place. There was a nod to that and some of the background stuff, whatever. But anyways, I think if they had actually physically gone to places that were key locations from past seasons, could have been fun, could have been hard. 50-year history, places changed a lot in 50 years. Now, one of the challenges they had to deal with, starting at episode 37, the actress who played the Black Ranger, the Unicorn Ranger, got into trouble with the agency she was contracted through, and they terminated her contract for underage drinking. I don't know the details of it, don't really care. I remember when this happened, it was a big deal, because it happened, she's no longer on the show. Not only is she no longer on the show, they're removing images from her on the website. They can't use her image and likeness in the show. So they basically took what was going to be the 38th episode, which was focusing on her character, kind of scuttled it. I think they reused bits and pieces and stuff later. Took what was going to be the 39th episode, boom, that's the 38th. They kind of edit around her. They do that for an episode or two. They do another clip show at this point. They'd already done a clip show where the Red Ranger, who's going through job after job after job, because he can't keep a job. He winds up working at TOWIE, and the producer there is interviewing other members of the team. He's like, but I'm a member. And finally convinces him when he morphs in front of him later on. But that producer comes back for another clip show of, okay, we talked about the Rangers. We didn't talk about the rings. So they were able to cobble together an episode to buy them an extra week of time by basically reusing footage of the different ring morphs and stuff, having the Red Ranger and the producer do the framing sequence and stuff at the cafe. And the opening for these couple of episodes was using a lot of Legendary Ranger kind of footage in place of where the team normally would have been. They wind up fairly quickly recasting the role, and that new actress comes in episode 40. And again, it was at 37 that this broke. It's a weekly show. 3 weeks later, they've got somebody else in place. Now, they recast with the actress who played the Yellow Ranger in Don Brothers. Now, I did not like Avatar Sentai Don Brothers. That's actually what started this string of episodes on Super Sentai shows. That one just totally didn't work for me. She was a bright spot in that season, did a terrific job. She came in, and there was, when we first see her character, we see the feet storming into the cafe kind of a deal. She's upset with Tegasword. She'd gone undercover as a PI, and Tegasword had changed her voice and her face and now can't change them back to explain essentially the bewitched moment of, why does Darren look different? Well, this is why this ranger looks different. But the actress got the same hairstyle, was able to adopt similar mannerisms, sold the role, and went in, I think, with a certain amount of gusto and stuff, because I forget if it was 40 or an episode or two later, they'd redone the opening, and she's in all of those scenes. Now, some of them were, okay, here's a rooftop scene where they're fighting, and they almost break into a dance kind of a deal that they'd shot probably a year prior, but they get everybody back, they edit her in. The whole bit with the dance number they do in the opening credits, there's this one shot where the Rangers are orbiting to the left as the cameras go into the right, and we're cutting between shots of the Rangers in costume and out of costume, with kind of half and half, half in, half out, and she's in place there, and it seemed like the exact same footage they used for everybody else. The challenge they had to deal with was they had already shot the season. They had to go through and do reshoots and insert this actress in to scenes that she hadn't been in. Now, they got some of the other people back, reshot some scenes to kind of stitch it together, but there are a number of places where, and some people might not even notice this, but there's a shot where, okay, we got the guys, and then we cut to the girl sort of thing, where if you're paying attention, it's clear she wasn't there when it was all filmed. But there are other times where, I don't know if they just used green screen or some of the stuff they used for King Oger with the virtual sets, they digitally insert her into scenes in place of the original actress. And watching it, knowing that was happening, there was nowhere it's like, oh yeah, they clearly did it there. There were a couple of places I'd be looking at the wiki after I watched an episode, and they're like, ah, here's what happened here and here. And I'm like, well, it played fine for me. It was not annoying, obnoxious, or blatant, but it was definitely a challenge that the production team had to go through to find an actress. Now, granted, using one they'd already worked with and knew was a very smart move, low risk at that point. Got somebody you can basically come in, hit the ground running, which they had to do, shoot the scenes, get it in there, get the stuff in the can, and have the season pretty much play out exactly how it would have otherwise. Now, there were a few things in one of the end games with the Calamity, where it's like, didn't you realize your Black Ranger's been missing for a while? And she's dealt with just in flashbacks and stuff, almost entirely in suit. So they were able to reuse the footage, but had to kind of edit and re-dialogue around it. So, unfortunate that the original actress got into trouble with the agency. I got the impression it was the agency that decided, nope, she's gone, she's out, you cannot use her. And not so much that that was Toei's decision. I don't know that Toei was fighting against it either necessarily, but I think they'd have been happier if this whole thing had happened 12, 13 weeks later after the season was done, but it didn't. And they dealt with it surprisingly well, and the replacement actress did a superb job with what she had, sold being the character, and it wasn't jarring or a bump in the road for me, at least. And again, I knew going into the season that was going to happen. And when I got to the point where it did, it's like, okay, they're working around it. She's oddly gone. She's edited around. If you look for stuff, you can see some of it. But again, it was super smoothly done. Overall, I really did enjoy the season. It had a good energy level. It had good actors. It had an interesting approach for the villains. They all had an arc. They had a nice end resolution to it. The Tegasword backstory honestly came out of nowhere. So while I didn't like the premise of the season, it was well executed. And even the bit at the end where it's like we wrap up the fight with the what seemed to be the bad guys for the season, have a quick thing through the Calamity, have a bit where we've got these two other people kind of, are you really worthy to be Sentai and stuff, and then have the team kind of fight amongst themselves to solve the ring war and deal with all of that and get the big wish resolved. It was fun. It was interesting. It's not what I wanted out of the final season of Super Sentai before it goes on hiatus. And as much as I disliked the 2-minute zero episode where it's like, oh, we blew up the world and rebuilt it, getting it off on the wrong foot, at the end of a season, they would typically do for the last, I don't know, 20 years, a quick handoff scene. The Red Ranger, the current team, would come on from one side of the screen, walk forward, do something. As the new Red Ranger kind of came in, they do a high five or a handshake or some passing of the torch moment as the old Red Ranger kind of heads off, waving goodbye, and the new one says, yep, I'm taking over the fight. In place of that, there was a scene to launch the new Project Red Hyperspace Sheriff Gavin Infinity, which is a relaunch of the Space Sheriff Gavin stuff under the new Project Red banner, which is replacing Super Sentai. It's Projects of Extraordinary Dimensions or something like that. Anyways, that character comes on, seems to effectively kind of scoop up or absorb the power of the Sentai rings, and then take off. Kind of the usurping of the throne moment, almost. I'm not really interested in Space Sheriff Gavin. I've seen a bit here and there when they tried to relaunch him, I don't know, about 10 years ago. Again, different version of the character, etc. But solo hero, I like the team ensemble aspect, not interested. So it ending on that kind of, not handoff, but whatever you want to call it, didn't really work for me. Now, I did watch the summer movie, which was Tegasword getting resurrected and stuff, and that was kind of interesting. There is a Versus movie I have not seen yet. As I record this, it is in theaters in Japan, so it'll be a little while before I may be able to see it, don't know. But it's teaming up with Boom Boonger. I think they've got all 50 Red Rangers in suit in it, not obviously all the originals or whatever. And I think there's going to be something giving the backstory of the Sixth Ranger of Polar Beginning or something of that sort. I don't know. I need to find out more about that. So there's still a few more things. If I'm able to watch them in short order, I'll include that here after this. Otherwise, I may come back to it later. I may not. I don't know. But having the season reference past Super Sentai made sense for Swan Song season and anniversary season, etc. The costumes were pretty good. The music, again, I really liked. They had some good characters. They had some good moments. They didn't knock it entirely out of the park, but they did a good job. So I don't know that this would be one of the first seasons I would recommend somebody watch, but I think it works as one. It certainly has some advantages to it because, again, catchy theme song. I think it's very accessible. You don't need to know who all the Rangers were and stuff. It's just, hey, there's some ring with some powers, and here's what they are. So they had a few challenges, again, with the recasting of the Black Ranger and stuff like that. They pulled it together. They did a good job. I hope that the Versus movie and kind of the backstory on the Sixth Ranger are not the last we get out of Super Sentai. I would like to see more either 10, 20, 30-year type movies happening or other specials and one-offs, but I suspect that Toei is trying to, I don't want to say put Super Sentai to bed for a while, but I think that's what they're doing. Because the contracts they signed for Power Rangers with Saban that went through Disney, back to Saban, over to Hasbro, have kind of in perpetuity clauses, and outside of Japan, specifically in the North American market, among others, Power Rangers is there, Super Sentai can't be. And I think Toei is wanting to be able to leverage their stuff on a global scale these days. Because let's face it, where we are today in the world of entertainment and globalization is light years beyond where it was 50 years ago, but also light years from where it was even 25 years ago or thereabouts, when, or 30 years ago, when Power Rangers was starting. So having something where they are not constrained legally from rights they signed away to be able to leverage their stuff across the globe and stuff makes sense. If they can get another team-based thing going in Project Red, I'll certainly be interested in checking that out. But I have no interest, like I said, in the current season they just started of Project Red with Hyperspace Sheriff Gavin Infinity. It's a different beast. It's a different kind of a thing. Just like I'd never really gotten into Kamen Rider, I'd never really gotten into Ultraman. I've given the both of them a shot. It's just, it's a different sensibility. So I thought this was, like I said, a fun season. I'm looking forward to, again, like I said, watching that Versus movie, since it's the last one, at least for the foreseeable future, probably ever, but whatever. And I appreciate all the listeners for indulging me as I've gone on now for a couple of different episodes on a couple of different seasons of Super Sentai. I don't know, I may go back and do some earlier ones, I may not, I don't know. But I'd certainly love some feedback on these episodes and what you all thought. So with that, we'll call it an episode. Unless I'm able to go see that Super Sentai movie and record on that and get that edited before I think this goes up. So I have had a chance to watch the Polar Beginnings special that was done through the Tokusatsu fan club. So it's literally for the fans. It's only about 34, 35 minutes long, and it takes place 20 years ago, presumably during the first Calamity War, but we never really see any of that. And it seems to be the setup of the Polar Ranger, at this point, the original Wolf Ranger, meeting the rest of that team at that point, and how things fall out there. Now, 34, 35 minutes, not all of it is focusing on these other team members. I forget how long into it it took for them to get introduced. But they get the equivalent of an episode and a half, maybe, of what would have been the regular time for an episode or whatever, to be introduced, build up the characters, establish them, make us care about them, and then kill them off. So I really thought the Polar Beginning was not the beginning of him as the Polar Ranger, of him as the Wolf Ranger. It was very dark. It had some interesting bits. I thought the other characters were interesting. It barely touched on Tegasword. It barely touched on the Calamity War, the Gathering of the Rings, all of that stuff. It had a token nod to it. I did like that there was a framing sequence where this was all stuff the Polar Ranger was remembering in kind of the present day, and at the end we get a quick shot of the current team lineup and such. But again, this was done for the fan base. I think it was a little almost indulgent. It wasn't bad, it just wasn't really what I was hoping for out of it or looking for. Again, it felt kind of dark to me and tried to cover a lot of ground, yet didn't answer any of the questions I was expecting it to. How did he get the ring? How did the previous collection of the rings play out? How did the war with the Calamity play out? All of that was almost I was going to say subplot, but it wasn't even that. So it was all right. It was honestly a little disappointing and such. There is still the Gozuzer versus Boom Boonger movie. I think I am going to do that as a separate episode. I think there's going to be enough to talk about for that. At least I'm hoping there is. So when I have a chance to record on that, I will put that up. And that will, I'm not going to say conclude the Super Sentai episodes, but it'll at least be the future most content for them. And I may go back and do earlier Super Sentai seasons and such at some point. I haven't decided. So with that, we will call it an episode. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayo. And thanks again for listening.